We're holding on Daf Tzadik Amud Aleph by the Mishnah, top of the Amud. Mishnah says, "Beshama Omer lo yigarash adam es ishto elam ken matzav dvar erva." A man shouldn't divorce his wife unless he finds in her a dvar erva, that she acted in an unsneistic way. Now, it doesn't mean that she was actually mizana. Then there's no question he has to divorce. So what we're talking about, the Gemara had talked about previously a couple of, in the last couple of daf, and if she's acting in a pluralistic way, for example, that Rashi had given an example on Peites about Aleph Shesichaka Bashuk, that she was laughing in a brazen way in the street, or Miechla Ben Dader, or somebody was pressing her on her chest, or Gilgara, she was walking around with her head held high, or whatever. So those kinds of things we're talking about is Ervas Dover. So this Shammai says that's the only legitimate reason for a man to divorce his wife. Well, Basilo and Rafilo Hikdicha Tavshiloi. Basilo says even if she only burnt or oversalted his food, then that's valid enough reason to divorce her. A number of Rishonim say, and it's also brought La Halacha, we don't just mean that she accidentally oversalted his food. We mean she burnt it, whatever. We mean that she did it deliberately. So Basilo holds that would be a valid reason for divorce. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says even if there's nothing wrong with her, just that he found another woman who's more attractive to him than her, then that's a valid reason. Because Basilo says, the Pasuk says that he found in her Ervas Dover, where Basilo holds it doesn't mean an Erva, a matter of Erva per se. It just means, in other words, there's an Erva or a Dover, something else wrong that she did. So therefore it doesn't have to be dafka, a matter of erva, anything else where he finds that she's not acting in the way that he appreciates. And Rabbi Akiva, and after the Motzah, Cheras, no, Hemena, Rabbi Akiva said,
she didn't do anything wrong. It said if she did something wrong, but she didn't do anything wrong. Hashem made her a certain way, and she's married for 10, 50 years, has children.
Rabbi Akiva says, even if he finds another one who's more attractive than her, then that's also a valid reason that he could divorce her. Because the Pasuk says, if she doesn't find favor in his eyes. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying, basically, no, it may not be her fault, but in other words, he doesn't feel attractive to her anymore, and therefore that would be a valid reason to divorce her. Some people make the point, actually, we know Rabbi Akiva himself, with Rachel, she made him what he is, you know, so he knows very well what it means to love, somebody and that they do everything for you and make you who you are. So he's saying basically that if a man feels like, you know, he doesn't have that kind of attraction to his wife anymore, then you know what, why should he make life miserable for her anymore? Just divorce her and let her marry somebody else and let him marry somebody that he'll be more compatible with. With that said, you know, I mean, the halacha is among these three opinions, the halacha is like Basilo. In fact, the Rambam points out, Peter Shemeshnai, it's the Feder, the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. If he doesn't find her attractive, why divorce her? Well, marry another wife then if you want, Dafka. As we know, but, you know, back when you were allowed to, before Chayim Geber and Negoshim, then do that. With all of that said, there was a long sicha where the Rebbe talks about in great detail analyzing this whole machloikas over here, what's going on over here, that we're saying that, first of all, don't we usually find that Shammai is more machmir and Basilo is more meikel? How is it that here Bishammai is allowing so easily to get divorced and Basilo is saying, or rather Bishammai is not allowing it so easily and saying only in extreme circumstances, and Basilo is allowing more often that there can be divorce and Rabbi Akiva even more so. Rabbi Akiva, we know, was a chassid. He's always looking for the good of the Jewish people. How could he say such a thing? That just because you find somebody more beautiful. So there's a long, long sicha from the Rebbe, from Tavshin Yud Tes, Chaf Av. So we just passed Chaf Av, actually. Part of it is also in Likud Sichas and Chelik Dalid.
Something happened. I froze. We don't hear you. Oh, hello? It froze. We don't hear you. Brother, we don't hear you. We couldn't hear you before, so I went out and I came back. Couldn't hear you. We don't hear you. We don't hear you. We don't hear you. We can't hear you.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah,
now I hear you. Now I hear you. Okay,
good. Yeah, there was a glitch with the internet over here. All right. Sorry. So I was in the middle of saying that the Rebbe talks about that the husband and wife's relationship represents a person's avoida. So a person has a certain kind of avoida, and then you can have eventually a person feel that he's not, it's not speaking to him. He doesn't have a geschmack in it. So what should he do? This Shammai then holds that, look, it's your avodah, you have to stick to it, unless matzah ba'eras dover, unless you find that it's literally taking you away from acting up a Torah or something, then you have to stick to it no matter what. That's according to their Sparta that they always look for, that they're always mocking it. The Hillel says, no, even if it's not necessarily against halacha per se, but for example, it's interfering with other areas of your avodah, and that's reason enough to give that up and take on a different avodah. And Rabbi Akiva would say, after the matzah, acheras nahi mena, no, even if it just, you don't feel the smack in it anymore, then that's reason enough to give it up. So therefore, it comes out that this Shammai and this Hillel and Rabbi Akiva all go in with Shitasam, where this Shammai is usually Machmir, and this Hillel is Mekel, and so forth. And then Rabbi Akiva is a chassid, and always looks out for the best in every yin. Other than that, on the more simple, straightforward level, yeah, Rabbi Akiva is saying, once matzah, acheras nahimena, then look, you know, at this point, it's, unless he can patch things up, unless he can actually retrain himself to look at her positively and restore that relationship, then there may be no choice but to do a get and start all over with somebody else. So the Gemara starts off, Tanya, Omer bis Hillel bis Shammai, Valakva Nemar, Dober. Now, Basilis says to this Shammai, what are you telling me the only valid reason for a get is erva? It doesn't say just say erva, it says ervas dover. So what are you doing with the word dover? Omer lahem bis Shammai, so the Shammai answers back, Balei kvanema ervas, new, and it says ervas, what are you doing with that? Omer lahem bis Hillel, so Basilis answers, that's different. Even nema ervas, or nema dover, we would say, if it only said ervas in the pasuk and it didn't say dover, then you would say, ha yisi oimu mishum erva teitze, mishum dover loy teitze. you would say what it means is only if there was a matter of erva, then it's a valid reason to divorce her. But if it was only dover, if it was only something else that she did wrong, Loy takes it, and then she shouldn't divorce. V'chachnemer dover. So therefore, we say the word dover comes to include not only erva, but anything else that she did wrong. And vice versa, irunemer dover v'leinemer ervas. And on the other hand, if it only said dover without ervas, and you're asking, so we're telling you after all it says dover, so you have to figure out what we're doing with it. We'll tell you what we do with it. We would say, how you see, Omer, mishum dover tinosil afa mishum erva tinosil afa. You would think maybe what the pasuk means is if it was because of dover, if it was because, for example, she burnt his food or otherwise made life difficult for him, then fine. The Torah is saying she can get divorced and she'll still be able to be married to somebody else afterwards. But you would think, mishum erva lo tinosil afa, maybe without the word erva in the pasuk, you would think maybe erva is much more serious. And if it was a matter of erva, maybe the Torah is saying that after she's divorced, she's never allowed to remarry anybody else. So v'chach nema ervas. That is why it says ervas. So therefore, Bishilo says, we have an explanation for both words in the pasuk, but you, Bish Shammai, seem to be missing an explanation for what we would do with the word dover. So what are they going to do with dover? That we'll see soon. So that the Gemara says now, actually, Bish Shammai, hi, dover my apile, knew what does Bish Shammai do with the word dover? And the answer is they say, when they use it for Zeta Shav, nema kan dover, v'nema lahalam dover, al pish shnayim edim or al pish shloisha edim yorachum dover. You have the pasuk in this week's parasha by the mouth of two edim or three edim, the word is established, the matter is established, meaning you need two or three edim to establish anything in Beis Din. So as Shammai says, we use the word dover for gzeira shava. We learn from that malahalam b'shnei edim afkan b'shnei edim. Same way as in general, edus requires two edim. The same way over here, when do we say that a woman should be also to her husband? Is only if there's two edim of erva, not just if there's only one, or like I talked about on dat pei test, not if there was just rumors going around or whatever. That's not a valid enough reason to aser her to her husband. If he wants to divorce her, then fine. But Shammai is saying that Ervas Dover is reason enough to do, it's a valid reason to divorce her. But to actually ask her to him and to say she's not allowed to stay married to him, that what Shammai says, we learn from the word Dover, that you need two edim to establish that. Okay. Or Bis Hillel. Now, what does Bis Hillel answer to that? After all, they agree with that din also. They say, after all, yeah, but miksiv erva bid dover, sure, but it doesn't say that he found in her erva in a matter, where there we would say that it means the erva requires dover, requires two edim, as you're using the word dover for the gzeira shava. It doesn't. It says dvar, it says ervas dover. So it doesn't say erva bid dover, it says ervas dover, an erva of a matter. So therefore, Bishilo says, we can still understand that erva is one thing and dover is another thing, and it means one or the other. Bishamai would answer to that. Miksiv oy erva oy dover. Bishamai says, sure, but if you're arguing that they're two separate things, then the Torah should have made it clear. It should have said either erva or dover, one or the other. So so ervas dover, after all, ervas means the erva of. So it implies the erva that has to do with dover. Namely, the Shammai is going to say, therefore, we're going to say that it means only because of erva. And how is that erva established? Only with dover, only with two edim. So therefore, the Shammai says, you can't say that they're two separate things. And you're going to say that you're going to break up the pasuk and you're going to break up the pasuk and learn that they're two separate din. Bishilo would answer back, Lahochi, Ksiv Ervas Dover, the Mashmahochi, or Mashmahochi. Bishilo would say, you're right, you know what? If it had said Erva Bid Dover, then it would have to mean only like the way you, Bish Shammai, are saying, that it means an Erva which is established by Dover by two Aiden. And conversely, if it said Oi Erva, Oi Dover, then for sure it would mean exactly what we say, it's one or the other. Because it says Ervas Dover, then it means both things. It means that it can be either erva or dover, but it also means that if it's erva, then that erva to ask her to her husband has to be established through two edim. So that's how Bais Shammai and Bais Hillel learn the respective psukim. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah of Akiva and Matzah Matzah Acheres. Rabbi Akiva says even if he finds another one who's more attractive than her, then it's a valid reason to divorce. And by the way, I mean, the majority opinion in halacha is that, as usual, when you have a machlokas, there's shama v'shilol, the halacha is like, the halacha is like this hilol, as usual. However, there are rishonim. There's a late rishon called the Rashbash, Reb Shmuel, I think it was the son of the Rashbash. Anyway, he says in his Chuvas that maybe in this case, this is one of these cases where the halacha is like this Shammai, and well, you got a shelim ten matzah ba'ervas zavar. Even if not, the Rambam says that, and then this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that, a man shouldn't be so quick to divorce his wife just because there should at least be a valid reason. We're not saying that it has to be Erva Stavra, but at least it should be something serious. Okay. Then we said, Rabbi Akiva, Omar, Fidel Motza, Acheres, Rabbi Akiva says, you need to find another one. So, the Gemara says, the Michael Mithri, what is the underlying machlokes between the opinions in our mission? So we said that the Shammai and the Hillel are arguing about the meaning of the words ervas davar, whether it means erva, which is established through davar, through two edim, or whether it means either erva or davar, either a matter of erva or some other thing that's going wrong between them. But now we have Rabbi Akiva, who says matzah acheres, no himena. So how do we understand these three different opinions? What drives their machlokes? And the Gemara says, "Bidir Rish Lakish." They're arguing within what Rish Lakish says. The Amr Rish Lakish, he mishamish ba'arav l'shoyns. Like this, you have in the pasuk it says that he divorces her ki matzah ba'er vasdavar. So what does that word ki mean? So Rish Lakish points out, we have this in a number of places in Shas, that the word ki can have four different meanings. It can mean e, which means if, dilma, perhaps, ella, but. Or daha, because. And Rashi goes through in great detail over here and gives many examples of them, and also points out some of them have sub meanings. So Rashi points out, for example, let's say you have like this. You have mitzvahs, for example, in this week's parasha, for example, you have ki yimotze b'kirba. Ki, there is found in your midst, early in the parasha, it says there's a man or a woman who worshiped Avodah Zarah. So what does ki mean over there? It means if you find in your cities a man or a woman who worshiped Avodah Zarah, et cetera, et cetera. Then you have sometimes ki means ella, means however, and Rashi gives an example from Parshas Vayera. You have, for example, after Sarah laughs at the news that she's going to have a baby at 90 years old, and Hashem says to Avraham, why did Sarah laugh? So Avraham says to Sarah, why did you laugh? And she says, Lo tzachakti ki yareya. She says, I didn't laugh, ki, and there the ki means because I was afraid. Vayomer, and he answered, Lo, no, ki tzachak, rather, or however, you laugh. So there the word ki, that second ki in that pasuk, means however. Rashi gives other examples. You have from last week's parasha, ki lo sikvet es yatzcha ki fasayach tiktach. Don't close your hand to not give tzedakah to a poor person. Ki, rather, or however, open up your hand and give him tzedakah. And there's a few other examples. Sometimes it means maybe. So at the beginning of parashas Eikav, for example, you have a pasuk where it says ki soma v'lovavcha. Ki, you'll say in your heart, these nations are too numerous, they're more numerous than me. How am I going to defeat them? You shouldn't be afraid. So Rashi explains over here, and also on the pasuk, it can't mean if. What would it mean? If you say that, then you shouldn't be afraid. And if you don't say that, then you could be afraid. Either way, you shouldn't be afraid. It means perhaps it might happen that you're going to say in your heart, etc., etc. Then Hashem is telling you, don't be afraid. And there's a few other examples like that. And then you also have, sometimes it means because, or that, asher. And again, Rashi gives some examples. Again, Lord Sohakti, ki yareya, she says that, Sora says, I didn't laugh because she was afraid. Yisrael says to Moshe, why are you sitting and judging all the people? And Moshe says, ki yareya elaham, because the people are coming to me to ask to learn Torah and mitzvahs and to have dine Torah and so on and so forth. So you have many examples like that. And then Rashi points out that again, that some of them have sub meanings. For example, you have sometimes ki means kasher, when. Well, that's kind of because. The whens over there, for example, ki yivyach Hashem alekecha, doesn't mean if Hashem is going to bring you in. Of course Hashem is going to bring you in. It means when, which is a sub-meaning of because Hashem is going to bring you in to Eretz Yisrael, therefore, when that happens, this and this is what you should do, and so forth. So you have four different meanings of the word ki. Anyway, so the point is now, how does that drive the machlokes in this pasuk, that the machlokes in our Mishnah? This Shammai sadly, so this Shammai learns like this. The wife doesn't find favor in her husband's eyes. She mocks about erba stover. And what does the key mean? They understand key to have the fourth meaning, deha, because mocks about erba stover. Because he found in her erba stover, therefore, that she doesn't find favor in his eyes, and therefore he divorces her. Implying that anything other than that is not a valid reason to divorce her, because he hasn't found in her erba stover. So now Vesilol agrees with that basic idea that ki over here means daha. All they're doing is they're saying, like we said before, that ervas dover doesn't mean only erva, it means erva or dover. Rabbi Kiva saver ki motza ba ervas dover inami. So Rabbi Kiva learns that the ki means or. So therefore he parses the pasuk like this. If she doesn't find favor in his eyes, ki or also, where again ki is one of the meanings of ki is if, and a sub meaning of if is or. So or matzah ba'erva stover. So or if matzah ba'erva stover, then those are all valid reasons to divorce her. So therefore, so that's the machlokes. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both hold that ki over here means daha, because, and Rabbi Akiva holds that it means if, or rather a sub meaning of if, which is or if. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava, loy matzah ba'loy erva v'loy davar ma'u. Now what would happen if the husband didn't find in her? Neither, according to this Hillel, let's say, Rashi says, he didn't find in her, Tosfos, by the way, points out that also, within what Rashi is saying about the Ki Meshamash B'Dalat L'Shonus, that Rashi had mentioned that a number of them, you can't say they mean if. For example, Ki Yiviyacha, again, can't mean if Hashem brings you in. It means when Hashem brings you in, so therefore it's kind of like because. Tosfos says that's not really necessary. You find the word im occasionally is used to mean something definitive, like, for example, im Kesef Talve Asam. Doesn't mean if you lend money to a poor person, you have a mitzvah to. Doesn't mean if you bring the korban arim, you have to. It means when. So the same way, the key, which means if, can also mean when. So Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava, loy matzah v'loy erva v'loy davar ma'u. What if he didn't find in her any erva or any dover? According to Beis Hillel, that the only valid reasons to divorce her are because of erva or because of dover or something else that she did wrong. So now if he was over and divorced her mahu, what would be the din? Do we force him to remarry her or not? Amalei, so Rava answers, midigali rachmona gabi onus la yuchal l'shalcha koyomav, since we find by an onus where a man raped a naira besola, and the Torah says that if she wants to, if she and her father want, then he's obligated to marry her. We don't do that in Ksuvas. And the Torah says he is never allowed to divorce her, which means kol yomav amod b'haps koi, which means that even if he does divorce her, the words kol yomav means for his entire life he has a mitzvah to return her. In other words, if he divorces her, which is against halacha, which he's not allowed to do, then he has a mitzvah to remarry. And only if, as we don't think Ksuvas, if for whatever reason he can't marry, if he can't remarry her, for example, he's a Kohen, and now she's a Grusha, or for example, she dies, or whatever, then he gets Malchus. But anyway, there's actually a focus about that in Malchus. But anyway, the point is that you have, it's a lav hamnitek la'eseh. He has a lav not to divorce her, and if he divorces her, he has an eseh to remarry her. So only by the onus does it say that. Also by the Moti Shemra, but whatever. Anyway, the point is, so only there does the Torah say that if he divorces her, then he has a mitzvah, and we force him to remarry her. Implying, but over here, what's done is done. If he divorced her, even though Basilo says he shouldn't have, unless it was erva or dover, but the idea that if he did, we don't force him to remarry her. In that sicha that Rebbe talks about, and then in some detail also, the idea being, again, given this idea that the Rebbe developed with the, where marriage represents the connection that a person has with his avoda, and divorce represents when he gives it up and takes on a different avoda. So basically, Rava is saying that, look, you know, he shouldn't, unless it's really interfering with his other areas of avoda, but if he does, then b'di'evad, he should make the most of it and not figure, you know, well, it's hopeless now. And I can't do anything and just give up altogether. But after, also, for example, a person does averus, let's say, or on a national level, the Jewish people have to a certain extent a divorce from Hashem, not really, but because after all, Hashem is always still married to us, but you should never give up and think it's already, and then think it's done and it's hopeless. No, we say my dog and all, but what's done is done. Don't cry over spilled milk. But now work on reconnecting to Hashem and reconnecting to a new kind of avodah. So the Gemara says, Omelet of Mashashi Lerova, Im Libri Legarsha, Vihi Yeshevs Taktavum Shamashto. What if a husband plans to divorce his wife? So the question was, by the way, as far as this, so the question do we force him to remarry her? And Rashi also says that the suffix is, do we punish him or do we not? And again, Rava is saying, we don't need to punish him, we don't do anything. It's a done deal, and the divorce is done. So the Gemara continues, Omelet Mishashi of Rava, Im Libri Legarsha, suppose a husband planned to divorce his wife, and she's actually living with him still and serving him and having relations with him, even Meshamashik, can have both meanings. We learned in the Jordan that actually a man is not allowed to have relations with his wife if he plans to divorce her. So it's possible that Meshamashik over here doesn't actually mean to have relations. This means she's serving him like a woman usually, like a wife usually serves her husband. Anyway, Mahu, what is the din? Is there an issur in that? Is there an issur to do that? There's a discussion about that. A couple of the Rishonim arrive at it and the Iri explain that that's why Mishamash doesn't mean Tash Mishmamash. The Taz, on the other hand, says that there is a concept of Grusha Salev that we learned about in the Dorim where he plans to divorce her. That's if Loi Motzava Eras Dover. What if over here, Mishashi is asking, learns the Taz, what if Motzava Eras Dover does have a valid reason, even if one of his Shammai to divorce her, but would he still be allowed to even have relations with her, or what should he do? Koryale, so Rava referred to her, Mashashia, to a pasuk, Al Tafresh Al Reach Hara, don't think bad against your friend, when he is living in security with you. So meaning, in other words, so the simple meaning means exactly that. In other words, you have a friend who thinks that you're on good terms with him, then don't be secretly plotting evil against him. But here we're understanding that it means re'achos, it means your wife, who should be your best friend, as the Gemara is going to go on to say soon. So therefore, so don't be thinking evil against her when they're sitting securely with you, and she thinks you're still in love with her, and then not. So don't do that. In fact, the Rambam brings this halacha in two different places. In one place, he's in Hilchos Ishus and in Hilchos Geshen. He talks about this idea that a man shouldn't marry a woman with intent to divorce her, and then there's also, if he plans to divorce her, then he should tell her rather than stay married. There's a sicha where the Rebbe shtels the chana and points out how this relates to the relationship between us and Hashem, where after all, the Rebbe says in the sicha, you think about it, Hashem knows in advance everything that's going to happen. Hashem knows that Hashem knew when he first took us as his wife by Matan Torah that eventually we're going to mess up and we're going to do terrible avedas and we're going to go into golos and so forth. So isn't that kind of like this thing where he marries or planning to divorce her, or over here where he's thinking of divorcing her and they're still staying married? And the gist of the answer is that the Rebbe says that after all, we're not truly ever divorced from Hashem, Chas v'Shalom, as the pasuk says, Eiza Sefer Christus Imchem, Asher Shilachti, Hashem says, you think you're divorced from Hashem, where's your Sefer Christus? Where's your get? There is none because there is none. It's only ki'isha shaholach ba'alim. Then I say, yeah, the temporary separation, like when our husband goes overseas, but really there's no divorce ever, chas v'shalom, between us and Hashem, and therefore you can't say that, therefore Hashem is not being over on this halacha by marrying us, knowing that we're going to do avedus. In fact, the Rebbe also goes on in that sikha, in that same sikha, talking to your guest, to talk about it in some detail, why it is. I mean, here we've just learned an entire masechta with all the details of Gerushin, and here the Gemara is sort of saying that Gerushin shouldn't really be in the first place. The Shammai is saying only in extreme circumstances. The Sibyl says in less extreme circumstances, like why didn't this belong earlier in the masechta? And the idea is because really there shouldn't really have to be Gerushin in the first place. There should never be a divorce. There should never be a separation between the Eidushin and us. Sometimes there has to be a temporary separation, but that's not the purpose of it. Really, is to come to a higher level, which is the next step, the kiddushin, and that's also that Rebbe talks about. That's why all the step begins with maybe getting a dinas ayam, tzarach yem, b'fana nechta. And the point is that the shliach is always there, and Hashem is always there with us through His shluchim, and therefore there's never really any separation between us and Hashem. Okay, the Gemara says. Tanya, we learn in a brayse, a hayyur of meyorim, k'shem shahadeis b'maychol, kach deis b'noshim. The same way as people have different opinions when it comes to food, as far as that some people are more picky than others, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, as far as a fly or other degree or whatever in their food, the same way, kach deis b'noshim, the same way men have different opinions as far as their wives, as far as the pritzus of their wives, and what they, when, how much they're mapped on and what they do with that. So the first one, yesh l'chadim shezvuv noifal b'lusef posay, you have the kind of person, a fly falls into his cup, v'zirka v'enesh sehu, he throws out the entire cup and doesn't drink it. So that's an extreme way of doing things. The normal way would be you take out the fly and you drink the rest. That'll be the second. So, v'zui midas papus ben Yehuda. This was the midah of papus ben Yehuda, shenoyo b'fnei ishtoi v'yotzi. He would lock the door when he would leave in front of his wife. He would lock her inside of the house. So that go out, so that way she can't talk with any man. Now that's not the right way that Rashi brings from a different Gemara that he was the husband of Miriam Begabla Neshaya. Now there is an interesting discussion in this connection. There are other Gemaras that imply that Miriam Begabla Neshaya was the mother of Oser Ish. And that the idea would be, in other words, precisely because her husband was so overbearing to her, therefore eventually she found an opportunity that she was Mizana, and for her came Osirish. Tosfos elsewhere discusses maybe not, because there is a different Papus Ben Yehuda who's mentioned in a different Gemara that said that was in the time of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is a good 100 years after Osirish. So it may be the same one, it may be not, but the point is the Gemara is saying that Papus Ben Yehuda acted inappropriately. He went too far in making sure that his wife remains sneistic, that this idea of locking the door and not allowing her to talk with anything. Then the Yeshlacha Adam Shizvuv Noifal Sech Kosei. Then you have the kind of man where a fly falls into his cup. The Zoto Vishesehu, when he throws out the fly and drinks the rest of the cup. This is the midah of most people. This is the normal kind of midah that everybody should have, that you mask it on princess, of course, but that the wife talks with her brother or with her brothers or with her relatives, and he doesn't mind. Now he may realize there may come a point where he's doing this excessively, and after all, there is Altar B'Sicha in Isha, so he may eventually call her out on that when it gets to be excessive, but at least under normal circumstances, she has normal conversations with her brother or her relatives or whatever, and he's not mocked. But that's the kind of nidda that a normal person, that a normal man should have. Then the third one, the Yeshua Adam Shazbub Nerfable Sir Tamahi. Then you have a man who a fly falls into his plate of food. And it's interesting that before we had in the first two metaphors was Koisa, his cup. And here it was a Tamahoi, here it's a dish of food. So Marsha, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about after the third one, we'll talk about what Marsha says about this. And he sucks it out and eats it with all the food. So the parallel with the husband and wife, Zuhi Midas Odom Ra. This is the midah of a bad man, he sees his wife going out with her hair uncovered. We learned in Ksuvos that you have, to a certain extent, as Daraisa, it has to be covered, and there's more Dirabanan that has to be covered. The Toiva Bashuk, or that she's spinning wool or whatever kind of thread in the marketplace, which is a pretty sophisticated thing to do because it causes her sleeves to ride up. And her, or her clothes, or it's or, it's not all of these things, it's one or the other, or that her clothes are ripped up on the sides by the, not ripped up, but open on the sides, meaning, so Rashi describes that the, you can see the area by Aksila Yadeha. Now there's two possibilities. Aksila Yadeha can mean her elbows, so that means to see her upper arms, or Aksila Yadeha can mean her armpits, and that means that she's wearing a sleeveless dress, or like a very loose dress, and you can see all the way up to her armpits. Rashi describes Kedera Adonius Shabbat Sarfas. Rashi describes the various women in France in his time dressed that way. You could see their skin from their sides, like by the sides of their armpits. Or that she bathes together with men. So all of those, so man sees any of those things, and yet he tolerates it, and he doesn't say anything to her, and he allows it to keep going. What do you mean she actually bathes with men? Then Rashi says for sure, then her raglayim l'dover is a clear indication that she's a zoner, she flat out also to him. Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. And first of all, Tosfos says, if anything, the other ones also, maybe, you would say. So Tosfos says, no, what it means is, in other words, that the Gemara is asking is that, look, first of all, we're talking about an Adam Ra over here. We're not talking about a guy who's completely, he has no morals at all. We're talking about some level of morals at least. So even a kalash, even the most pritzistic woman is not going to do that. And even the worst Adam Ra is not going to tolerate that. So what does that mean? So Elon Musk says, but Makam Shemanei Adam wrote it in. You're right. What it means is that she bathes in the same place where men do. In other words, that she goes in there, Rashi says, while they're watching. So they go out, they're in the middle of getting dressed, and she goes in, and they can all see that she's going in and getting ready, and then getting ready to bathe, which is a pretty sophisticated thing. So then, and he tolerates that, and he doesn't do anything about it. So that's the middle we're saying of an Adam Ra. Now, Marsha points out over here, that first of all, in the mushal over here, we're saying three different things that a man does with a fly. So we said the first one is he throws out the whole cup. The second one is he throws out only the fly. The third one is that he sucks out the fly as well. So how does that really fit with the nimshal over here? So why we change from a kois in the first two to a tamhoi in the third one? So Rashi says, so Marsha says like. And nobody is going to tolerate an actual fly in a cup where it's the ain over there. It's blatantly there in the cup. So that would be literally like a man actually sees his wife being Mizana and he doesn't do anything about it. Anybody's going to back on that. Here we're talking about a tamakoi. It's a dish of food. It's a pot or a dish full of cooked food. So the fly gets, the fly dissolves in there. So you can see he eats the whole thing. He's not mad with that there was a fly in there. So therefore, so we're saying the same way over here. That again, she's not doing actual znus, but it's things that are very close to it, and he's not makbid, which is inappropriate. On the other hand, he shouldn't go to the other extreme, Papus Ben Yehuda, and lock the door in front of her and prevent her from even talking with her brothers and so forth. And as Rashi said, that causes a hatred between them, and that causes that eventually she'll look for any opportunity to do that. Anyway, the Gemara continues, getting back to the story over here. So the third one, the one over here where she's going out with her hair uncovered, or letting those sleeves ride up, etc., whatever. Zoom mitzvah minatora lagarsha. This is the kind of case where it's a mitzvah minatora for the husband to divorce his wife if she acts like that. The pasuk that he finds in her ervas, and even the shamai agrees that ervas is a valid reason to divorce her, and the shochami beisa, and he sends her away from his house with a get. And the Braisa continues. Now the pasuk continues. V'holcha v'hoisa l'ishacher. Then she goes and marries another man. So why does the pasuk say acher? Who else is she going to marry? So therefore it means hakosuv kroy acher. The pasuk is calling the second husband specifically acher rather than calling him, for example, shady. It could have just said l'ish. It could have said l'ish shady or whatever. Why after the word acher? Loimer she'enza ben zuge l'rishon. Because the pasuk wants to imply that the second husband who marries a wife who acts like that is not like the first one. The first one sent away the Shah from his house, and the second one brought one into his house. So therefore, the Pasuk calls him Acher to imply that he's the opposite of the first one. Meaning, in other words, my Rasha says he must have known of the Zvar Erva. After all, we said, for example, she was going out with her head uncovered or whatever, so this is the kind of thing that everybody knows. And yet he marries her anyway. So therefore he's called Acher. And the Braita continues, Zohar Sheni, if now the second one does have Zchus after all, if, for example, he realizes that he needs to improve things, then he sends her away also. Then he realizes this is not someone good to be married to, and he divorces her. Shnemo Sneo Ishatra, and as the passage continues, the second man, hates her. So now it doesn't belong out there anymore, because now he realizes that he should dislike her and he should divorce her. Being loud, and if not, if he never realizes that Kevaucho, then what's going to happen to him is he's going to die young, and she'll end up burying him. Shenema, Oichi Yoma, so Ishaqwan, or the Pasuk continues, or if the second man dies. In fact, when the Pasuk says Ki Yomos, and we just learned before that Ki can, or one of the meanings of Ki can mean when, means Kedayo Benisa. He actually deserves to die. Because after all, the first one sent away a Rasha from his house, and the second one knowingly married her, knowing that she's a Rasha, so he deserves that punishment unless he realizes and does trouble. Now, the Pasuk says that in the Nabi Malachi talks about an issue that was going on in his times. There were, at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were families of men and women who had come from Babel back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash and resettle Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash tells us the Jewish women over there had a really hard time of it, especially on the roads, and therefore they became less attractive. So many of the men then either were divorcing them, or what they were doing is they were marrying goyish of wives. And there was a huge problem of intermarriage over there, which Malachi talks against it, and Ezra Sofer dealt with it. In fact, the Gemara in Megillah says Ezra and Malachi may even be the same person. Anyway, so Malachi deals in his divorce with this problem that people are doing that men are divorcing their wives for no good reason. But even fine, we have Rabbi Akiva saying, Matzacharis Nahimena, but still, you know, Rabbi Akiva is not saying it's the right thing to do. And then second of all, that there's how do you set aside a Jewish wife to marry a goyish one instead? So now there's a pasuk there that says ki sone shalach, because hate send away. So what does that pasuk mean? Rabbi Yehuda im sinesa shalach. It means that the Navi is saying, if you really hate her, then send her away, like Rabbi Akiva is saying. But in other words, don't just send her away, stand because you don't find her attractive. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, on the contrary, the Navi is saying the one who sends away, the one who divorces his wife, is hated by Hashem. And the Gemara says, holy tricky, there's actually no machlokes. It depends whether we're talking about a first marriage or a second marriage. A first marriage, the Pasuk is talking about, but they're actually about a first marriage, it calls her Ashes Ne'urin, the wife of your youth. And then the Navi is criticizing them for sending away and divorcing the wives of their youth. So therefore, so by Zogrishin, then the Navi is saying, don't do that, and Hashem hates that you do that when there's not a valid reason for it. Unless there's Dvar Erva, or like the civil saying, Hikdicha Tavshiloi, or something like that. Zogrishin, then we have what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Where's Rabbi Yehuda? What Rabbi Yehuda is saying, in Sonei Shalach, if you hate her, then divorce her. That's talking about Zug Sheni, it's talking about second marriage. So it's not really, it's not your original Bashert, as the Pasuk is not talking about that. It's not necessarily such a close relationship to begin with. We learn from Yevamos, for example, a man has greatest satisfaction from his first wife. We learned also over there that a woman really is most has the greatest connection with the man who made her a keli and made her capable of having children, which is by taking her besulim. So a first marriage is a much closer thing, and therefore it should be much harder to break it up. The Amar of Elazar, as in fact, Rabbi Elazar says, Kolam Garish Isha Rishona, when a man divorces his first wife, from his Beah married all of Gemaris. Even the Mizbeah cries tears for him. Why should the Mizbeah cry tears? So one point is, Mephoshim explained, because a woman, when she's married, she's going to have children every so often, and every so often she's giving korbanos when she has children. Now the Mizbeah, so to speak, is sad that it's not having those korbanos. Anyway, Shenamar, you have in those psukim, those same psukim in Malachi, where he's criticizing the people for divorcing their wives, he says, the Zos Shemis Tap. So this is the second bad thing that you're doing after he describes over the marrying virgin women. Kaseis Dimas Mizbah Hashem Bechiva Anokra. You're causing the Mizbeach of Hashem to be covered with tears and with crying and with moaning. The symbol meaning is that the women, the Jewish women who were abandoned by their husbands and divorced by their husbands, are coming to the Mizbeach and crying. But here, the hero of Elazar is understanding that the Mizbeach itself is crying. May ein oid p'noisa la mincha, where to the point where Hashem doesn't want to turn at you and receive your mincha, v'lakachas rotzen miyadchem, or to take any willing offering, any carbon that you want to bring willingly from your hands. And the pasuk continues, v'amarta mamma. Now you're saying, why? What's the problem? What do we do wrong? Well, the reason is, alki Hashem heid ben tov, ben eshes nurecha. Hashem has testified about what's going on between you and the wife of your youth, asherata b'gadta ba, where you have been disloyal to her, you're divorcing her, you're marrying a Goyish woman instead of her, or whatever, or in addition to her, where she's your friend and the wife of your covenant. So therefore, so in other words, the Mizbeach itself is, so to speak, being covered with tears for the fact that a man is divorcing Ishtar Yishon. So Marsha explains elsewhere about this business about the korbanos, and he explains in some detail over here in connection with what Rashi explains. That Rashi brings over here the details of that more details about what Malachi is talking about. That we're talking about Eishes Nurecha, again the wife of your youth, and he goes on to say Al Yivgoy, you shouldn't be treacherous. And Marsha goes through and douches the psukim at some length over here. Again, we and Hashem are like a wife to her husband. And we're saying, therefore, so we Jewish people are like you have been treacherous to Hashem. You've been treacherous to the relationship that you had with relationship to Hashem, and you shouldn't do that. And Hashem, therefore, won't be, if you don't do that, then Al Yivgoy, then Hashem will not be disloyal to you either. Hashem will keep you as his wife, and you'll have the connection between you and Hashem. He brings also the connection of it here. We learned in Sota, you have the famous thing about Isha Zachu, Shechina Beinehem, because the man has the yud, the woman has the hay, and they have Eish between them. He's saying that if you Zoicha and you keep your relationship with Hashem the way you're supposed to, then you'll have the fire of Ava, of love between you and Hashem on the Mizbeach, and therefore the Mizbeach will be happy with that. So therefore, that's why we're associating it with the Mizbeach. In that same sefer, Toshin Yud Tes, the Rebbe also talks about the idea that the Mizbeah brings kapara even before people do tshuva, and that represents a very close relationship, the close relationship that Hashem has with us. Even before we do tshuva, Hashem still wants to be close with us, and therefore, when a man doesn't act that way with his wife, and he says, you know what, I don't need you anymore, I'm divorcing you, then the Mizbeah is sad about that and is murdered tomorrow. So the flip side of it is, so now, the Rebbe points out in that sefer, after having gone through 89 blocks of learning all the details and all the ins and outs of when to divorce and how to divorce and then so on and so forth, now the Masechta is finishing off with, ultimately, there should be no reason for it, there should be no need for it. We should always have that close relationship with Hashem as a husband to a wife. And if there has to be a temporary gerushin, a temporary separating away, then it's only for the purpose of coming to the higher level of relationship, which is the next Masechta Kiddushin. Which is the kiddushin, the wife becomes kaddish and becomes reserved for and one with her husband, which is what we're going to learn in the next masech. Hadron alacham agarish or slikol alacham agarish.
Mazel tov, mazel tov.